All right, tonight I just want to look at, let's see how much time I got. Yeah, I'm not sure how much, this is not an easy lesson to do, talking about the feasts, F-E-A-S-T, the feasts. And the, most of the lesson tonight will be in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And I'll start reading at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." These are the feasts. And in this chapter, we're going to see seven different feasts. And later we're going to cut that down to three different feasts, which were the main ones where the men had to travel to each year. But we notice one word here, the word is convocation. This has to do with a gathering or a meeting place, the people getting together and meeting. Not too much unlike what we do in our conferences. I just had to throw that plug in there, since this is our Jubilee conference coming up anyway. But what was that? What was that, Ron? Peoria. Did you put Peoria on there? Yeah, Peoria. P-E-O-R-I-A. Okay, and let's see. So, yeah. On that verse, it's convocation. So these are things that that these were appointed times. The Lord has a perfect vision of the times. And these exact dates that we get here in this chapter have a lot of significance, both in the history of these occurred. Each one had something to do with the history, had to do with prophecy, and had to do, if you were a Jew living at that time, all you would be thinking about is the agriculture that goes around all these feasts. One of them is the ingathering. We get that, you know, we'll see that one, and then one of them is the harvest, and so forth. But all of these have to do, all of these are based on a lunar cycle. A lunar cycle. And as you know, September 21st, March 23rd, those are the equinoxes. That's when equal nights, 12 hours night, 12 hours day. So this is the center of all of these feasts, those 2 days, the equinoxes. And at the time that this was written, I believe there were 30 days exactly in the month. We can see that at the flood. We know that that was the case then. And the only time that could have turned off is when, in the time of Joshua, when it talked about turning back the clock. There could have been some cataclysmic thing happening there, but it's not until you get after they came back from Babylon, you see a lot of things about how they waved the sheaf offering, and you had to go by the new moon. And for example, the Passover and the next day, which is the unleavened day of unleavened bread, starts. That's the full moon. That's the middle of the month. That's on a full moon when that happens, and that has significance too. But in here we see this called in Leviticus, the first couple verses, the feasts of the Lord. Once we get to the New Testament, it's called the Feast of the Jews. Feast of the Jews. So they lost that part of it where we're doing these things for the Lord, so to speak. And it was more of a ritual and a religious practice at that point. There were always people, though, who wanted to do it right, even from the beginning, that did everything exactly the way they searched their hearts, just as we search the Scriptures. They wanted to live the life just like we do. And we don't want to think of ourselves as if we would have been in their shoes, that we would have, we would have done it different. I remember the first time I read the Bible in the Old Testament, I couldn't believe all of the times that, and then the Jews, and then they went, then they turned their backs on the Lord, and so and so and so and so, and I couldn't believe it. But later I started thinking about it, that if I would have been there, would it have been different? I don't know. But in, I'll go on and tell you this verse in Deuteronomy 7:6-7. I know you know that verse too. It says, got two pages stuck together. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy 7. Did I write that down right? Deuteronomy 7:6. No, let me see. Okay, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people of unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. And you can think of us as being just as fortunate in the way we were chosen before age times. You can't really say that in man's flesh there is no good thing. So that applies to us too, but yet we were put in this distinct ministry and in this distinct calling, which is not anything to do with the earth, as we're reading here, but has everything to do with the heavenly places where we look for our inheritance. Okay, so let's go on to verse 3 and 4 in Leviticus 23, where it says, verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. So every single Sabbath, although this is not one of the seven, as you will see in verse 4, this is not one of the seven feasts, but this was every single Sabbath was a convocation, an assembly of the people. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And in verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord. So, and then in the note here, Bullinger agrees with that word. That, which sets that distinct, the feast distinct apart from the Sabbaths. Even holy convocations which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. These were appointed times, and they had extreme significance. So in the first one of the seven, we read in verse 5. If you mark in your Bible, circle the word Passover in verse 5, and put a 1 on the margin. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. That's number 1. Let's see what I got written here. Okay, so that was the 14th day of the month. It's what we think of as Easter, the pagan Easter day. It has to do with deliverance. remember that Israel's salvation and deliverance, that's what they think of when they think of the Passover. And it's an annual thing. So every year, this is one of the things they did. Now, the second one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's in verse 6. So you put a 2 there, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So there you would circle unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Remember, they were in a hurry to get out of Egypt, so this was symbolic that they could not leaven the bread because that represents sin. They're coming into a new relationship with the Lord, and this is symbolic that we're starting. This is a new start, fresh start. But this is an extension of the Passover. You notice it's the very next day where these 7 days start. It says in verse 7, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. So the first and the seventh day after the Passover, that was, those were holy, those were convocations, but specifically there were 7 days there. You'll see the number 7 quite a few times throughout this chapter 23. It has to do, it's a perfect number, as opposed to 6. 7 minus 1, the number of man, which is imperfect. 6 is an incomplete number. So here we see for 7 days, and you'll see that, we'll see that quite a bit. Let's see, on verse 9 to 11, specifically in verse 11, you'll see the words, wave the sheaf. So the sheaf offering, or the wave offering, and that would be number 3, and this is the wave offering of the first fruits of the barley harvest and whatever else harvest they had coming at that time, but barley was one of the early ones that came at this time. Some of them came a little later. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and this is verse 9 and 10, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So this would mean that it is now ripe, it's now ready to go. The sheaf is, the harvest came in just right, and it's approved of the Lord, it's ready to go. Now later, say after the year 650, when the 365-day calendar went to 300, when the 360-day calendar went to 365 days, that was around 650 B.C., according to NASA, this is when they started waving the sheaf offering and looking for the new moon and different things to find out for sure if they had to add another 13th month into that year. And you'll see historical proof of that, but no historical proof of what we're reading here in Leviticus chapter 23. So there's some supposition there, but I believe they did not have to calculate back here in Leviticus 23. They did. I believe the months came out exact in those days. In let's see, verse. Okay, what did I have for that? Okay, yeah. Again, unleavened has to do with sin, and we're going to see in a minute here that there was one feast that it was allowed. That it was allowed to add the leavening. So, now verses 12 to 14 read, but if I spent 10 hours studying it, I might be able to give you a lesson on how this points to Christ. All of these details in Scripture that points to Christ, the coming Messiah and the coming Savior. And we're going to have a couple other spots like that, but I'm going to skip over these three verses. I know Mike and some of you guys have talked about some of these types in Scripture and how it's mind-boggling, you know, how that Scripture fits together so tightly like that. But in verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 23, it says, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete." 7 Sabbaths. That's 49 years. Verse 16, "Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath ye shall number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." So, there you have the same formula that you had with the Jubilee calendar, which started back at the same time. Started at, right after they entered the land, the Jubilee calendar started. 6 months later, actually, on the 7th month. And on the 10th day of that month, as you know, that's the Day of Atonement. That's when everybody gets everything back. So now we have us a homeland. We're in the land now. We have us a homeland. And the Lord is going to preserve it for us if we just go by these easy fundamental things here. It would be an easy thing to preserve if they just met in all of these convocations as they were supposed to. You know that brings you closer to the Lord. It makes us grow. And I know since I've been in Scripture and Acts 28 teaching that I've seen everybody around me, every single person, of course, myself. I mean, some of the first lessons I ever came up with, you know, it's I don't even know why they allowed me up there other than to give me training, you know, pulpit space, maybe to give me a little bit of training. But, no, I've seen so much growth in everybody. And I've seen groups, and I won't mention who they are, but, man, you go there, and every week it's something else about you have to have faith. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, and these verses over and over. And I would go home and, yeah, they hammered it in me. And I would try to consider those verses. But if you really want someone to have faith in the Lord and in His Word and in Him, you'll see Him grow in the Scriptures. And you'll see Him increase in knowledge. And that's one of the reasons for all of these feasts, that they would bring them closer to the Lord and closer to each other. But let's see, where do we leave off? Verse 15. Okay, so there's 50 days. Verse 17, "Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven." They shall be bacon with leaven. Now this is the, if you circle the 50 days, circle 50 days in verse 16, that means Pentecost. So that goes along with, you know, New Testament scripture, which we don't have time to go into tonight. There's all kinds of New Testament scripture to go along with Leviticus chapter 23. But just to give, at least this chapter gives us an outline. It gives us these seven feasts. Just think of it as an outline that you can use and as a reference when going to other scriptures and coming back to this scripture. So, okay, so let's see. Okay, in fact, I'll go ahead and read you that note in verse 17. The Companion Bible says, when it says about why it's okay here to have leaven, the Companion Bible says, this great exception is made because the antitype is not Christ, but humankind, and not without sin. So this has to do, the antitype of this particular feast has to do with man and not Christ. So there, the leaven is allowed. And again, we see from verses 18 to 22, I'm going to skip over that. These are just more requirements that would require quite a bit of study if you really wanted to see the, all of the typology there. Then in verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Okay, so this is the Feast of Trumpets. And if you'll remember right, the 99% of Christianity believes in the parousia, and although they translate that word to be rapture, the parousia, they translate that to be rapture, but on that particular event, when in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 4:16, in that particular event, the you'll see the trumpet. There will be a trumpet sounding at the parousia. And let's read some more about this trumpet here in Leviticus 23. In verse 25, let's see. Shall have a trumpet in holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Okay, I don't have it. There was for the first 10 days, the first 7 days from day one through day seven, they blew the trumpet. Then on the 10th day was the Day of Atonement. But we'll see that in verse 27. Also, on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. So put a number 6 by verse 27. That's the sixth feast in this chapter. And there are 7 total. It shall be a holy convocation. This was the greatest, holiest day of the year for Israel, the Day of Atonement. Everything would come back to them. It was the day that the high priest would enter into the holiest of all. Everything started fresh, and it secured their homeland. It secured their homeland, and no other country can claim Israel, the land of Israel, except these people. And you'll hear all kinds of negativity about, oh, these people were actually Canaanitish stock. I heard that from somebody you wouldn't believe if I told you who told me that. But he was someone who you know, studies Scripture quite a bit and claims to study Scripture quite a bit and makes statements like that. And when we have such a history in the Bible of how the Jewish race developed, It's a very inbred race, extremely inbred. There's an appendix on that we looked at. But that's why the Jews of today can in record-breaking time do things that no other country can do. Here you've got a country that's the size of New Jersey, and they act like that everybody fighting them is the underdog. But, okay, so we have the Feast of Trumpets. You also have, I'd like to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, this has to do, coincides with the parousia. Has nothing to do with the phanerao, the phanerao, which is the manifestation. Or it's like when you turn the lights on in a room, everything becomes manifest. You can see everything in the room. And that's when Christ is our life, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we be manifested with him in glory. But you can see here this in Corinthians has to do with the Jews. This refers to chapter 23 of Leviticus as we're reading and other places. So we get a lot of false information there. You also see it in Matthew chapter 24 when the Lord comes back. Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. There's the sound of the trumpet. Now, what this might suggest is you might be able to figure out the exact day that the Lord's going to come back. Because this was the seventh month, and there were seven days there that they blew the trumpet. So the seventh day would be the last trump there. Now, if you knew the year, say, for example, if you knew for sure it was 85 A.D., you could look up, because it varies each year now on the Jewish calendar, you could look it up for that year and say, well, let's see, the last trump, that's going to occur on, September the 18th on that year. But anyway, that's just throwing that out, because when it comes to the parousia, there may be something hidden there that we don't know. But when it comes to the manifestation, we came into this ministry and into this movement as a mystery. And likely we'll go out as a mystery. There's nothing we know about dating or anything like that of when that'll happen. It sure seemed like it would have to happen before the Lord deals with the Jews again, doesn't it? I don't see how that would work otherwise. Okay, so in verse 27 we saw the Day of Atonement. That was Yom Kippur, holiest day of the year. And so, let's see. Again, we're going to skip down. Now we're going to, let's see, we're going to skip down to verse, let's see, let's skip down to verse 33. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." So you can put a seven circle Feast of Tabernacle there, and now you'll have all seven of the feasts there in 23. Now, there were 40 years that they lived in booths. It says Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths or Tents. They lived in tents in those 40 years. And they did it again up until the time of Joshua. They did it up until the time of Joshua. And then it wasn't until after the Ezra-Nehemiah period that they did it again. It never happened before that, though. It's after they came back from Babylon. They were so joyful and happy that they wanted to do it again. They wanted to revive this scripture of once a year setting up these booths and living in them as a reminder of what they had been through in those 40 years. And let's see, I had that verse written down somewhere, but that's in, eighth chapter of Nehemiah, where it talks about that they hadn't done this since the time of Joshua. Now, so that's kind of the overall where you have to go back to for your reference. But let's turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, and it talks here. Here we have three different feasts. Back there in 23, we had seven. But let's look at these three in Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, which God shall choose. That is Jerusalem. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. These men must bring something. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So these three feasts here happen to be number 2, number 4, and number 7 of what we just read. These are the three main ones that every year the men themselves had to attend. So, and they had significance. The first one is tied in with the time of the Passover, has to do with deliverance. And the Pentecost one has to do with the giving of the law at Sinai, at Mount Sinai. Let me see if I got time. Yeah, I got time to read that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Let's go down to verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So this has to do with that particular feast. That's got the same feast of Pentecost there, where they had the 7 times 7 weeks plus one, all those Sabbath days. So that has to do with the law given on Mount Sinai. And then the Feast of Tabernacle has to do with when Israel was actually established into the land. So these all have significance historically. They also have a lot of prophetic significance, in that you'll notice that the Lord will come back probably during that Jubilee week, the Feast of Trumpets. He died, we know that, the day before the Passover, the day of preparation. We know all of these, all kinds of dates in the New Testament that use these exact same dates. And Passover is, you see quite a few Passovers, I forget the appendix, but he lists all, you know, there, we can list every single time and say, well, this was the first Passover. And you'll see that in Joshua. This, you'll see the first Passover there in Joshua. And you say, well, this was the second one. And, you know, you can go all the way through them all. But in any case, the Feast of Tabernacles has to do with them being established in the land. And to do that was also was the time of the Jubilee. This Feast of Tabernacles, that seventh month, was also the time on the 10th, you know, the 10th day of Jubilee. So this has a lot of significance. I'm going to read one more verse about that, and that's in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. Okay, Leviticus 25, 8 to 10. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Same pattern, seven times seven. And shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month. Maybe that's the last trump they're talking about, the Day of Atonement. Maybe that's when the Lord is going to come back in the year 85 A.D. I don't know. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubile unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. So a lot of those men were sold into slavery. So now we start afresh again on this next Jubilee period. So really doesn't have anything to do with us today. These are all earthly things. But it does have significance in the fact that God's perfect plan had many, you know, by going by his perfect plan, things worked out great. It's when you decided, you know, they, as soon as they got in the land, they started hearing about all these other gods, and many of them were drawn away immediately. But I would say the percentage would be about the same as it is today about how faithful people are towards the Lord and his word. I would say these people were percentage-wise similar to what you see in the world today, the people who actually followed through on in that. But we know there was a remnant all the way throughout. There was always a remnant. And in a way, you can say what we are as a remnant, but you know we haven't seen our inheritance yet, as they did. They heard about their inheritance before they went there. The spies went there, but they had never seen it themselves, just like we haven't. We have no idea really of the greatness of what the Lord has in store for us, but. You know, we study these things because every single thing you learn in Scripture that tells you something more about the Lord himself also gives us more faith in Scripture itself, and gets to the point you question nothing. Gets to the point where it really is of no significance, your life, you know, to turn it over as a living sacrifice. That's what you want. You don't want to have to think about it. You just want it to be part of you, the part of your way of life. So with that, I'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Thank you, our gracious Heavenly Father, for this night, for this time of that we live in. We pray for our country. We pray for each member in this group. We pray that you will have your hand on this upcoming conference We pray that the Holy Spirit will be there and that many will be blessed because of it. And if there's any here tonight, Lord, that needs your special care and your special loving hand on them, Lord, reach out and grab them and help us all to just be knit together in love. And we thank you for your great word and your great name. We pray these things in your great name. Amen.